Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse!
Adam, I thought you said I could do this
intro.
Yeah, you
can, go for it.
Let me get my spreadsheet.
Oh yeah, good idea.
Talk about surviving the apocalypse the nerd's way. Use spreadsheets.
Wow, how nerdy is that? Jeez.
Hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the nerd's way. I have finally found out a way for me to get some airtime on this podcast, and it's by just having me as the host. So I'm John, and welcome to the show. We don't have any sign of Adam at all, really.
I'm gonna cut your face!
I don't think he's around, actually. He's definitely not here at all.
I'm doing your dishes!
Okay, I better help him. Hello and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way. I'm your host John and I'm here with...
Adam! That was awkward. But I like it.
Okay, well, wow, you always have to criticize me when I do the intro.
I criticize everything.
Okay, fine. I'm going to leave in the other intro where I'm like secretly doing it without you.
Oh good, yeah, alright.
Alright, so... What are we going to talk about today on the episode?
Well, we have a variety of topics that we're going to discuss, but also we're going to change the format of the podcast, not this episode.
No, don't change it. I'm allergic to change, Adam. Don't change it.
It must be changed. Okay. So we're going to change it.
I'm off the podcast. This is it. This is my last episode. And from now on, it's going to be Surviving the Apocalypse, Adam's Way.
It's... No change, essentially.
Too accurate.
So, basically what we've got, starting from episode... Actually, we should discuss the fact...
What?
We're at episode 10.
Woo!
Woo!
We made it!
Yeah! High five!
Okay, so the reason why that took so long is because we're also in another studio, which is just my front room. But basically because I got too scared of Adam being in close proximity to Adam. So now we're across the other side of the room on big, huge armchairs.
It does make it difficult to lunge at you or make sudden movements in your direction to make you, you know, flinch like a, you know... frightened bird.
All right. Okay. But anyway, what you were saying before is...
changing of the format and episode 10. So we've made it to episode 10, which is, you know, astronomical. I didn't think we'd make it past 2, to be honest. So that's quite
fantastic. I thought we'd never get episode 1 recorded.
So yeah, yay! But yes, going forward for episode 11, we're going to change the format slightly. We're going to have, you know, basically an array of topics still. But we're going to spend most of our time... in the core of a single subject.
Basically, we were becoming too distractible, like those dogs out of the Up movie, or like a squirrel. Talk about this, and then you get confused. So, let us know what you think of the new format. Obviously not now, because it's happening next episode. Yeah.
Give us feedback for next episode on this episode.
Can you time travel, please? Thank you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I should also point out that maybe next episode... they won't notice any change at all.
There is that potential.
Now we've made a big deal about nothing. Just ignore us. Actually, that's what you were doing anyway.
Indeed. Transition!
Good enough. Sorry, I couldn't afford this sound effect. we moved to a new studio because there's no studio anymore and there's no budget.
We've lost everything.
Yeah.
We've sunk everything into Bitcoin. Oh my.
Wow.
So, transition again.
We can't afford more transitions, man. I'm serious.
So, as a podcast, probably not a good idea for me to recommend what I'm about to recommend, which is another podcast.
To be honest, we're the only podcast you could possibly ever need.
That's true, but I...
Let's just say you finished listening to all of our episodes twice each, mm-hmm. and then sent them to all your friends and listened to them with all your friends as well.
Yep.
You might want to listen to something else to tide you over until the next episode of Surviving the Apocalypse.
Indeed. Oh, and that also reminds me. Apologies for the long break. It's all John's fault.
There was no long break. Actually, the long break was before the last episode.
Yeah, I guess it was. But yeah, long break, but we're going back
into
it.
Stop blaming me as well. Anyway, keep talking about this other podcast that's so much better than me and my podcast and my editing abilities.
Your editing abilities are magnificent, but that podcast has something that, you know, leaves ours in the dust.
Tell them what it is.
It is called Unattended Consequences. And if you're a fan, and you should be if you listen to episode one, if you're a fan of Patrick Rothfuss, who is possibly the greatest author of our generation...
Three books by him on the bookshelf right to the side of us. Well, actually, I lent them to my sister, but...
Yes, but that's two with books permission. I mean, you have to be a missionary for Patrick Rothfuss, essentially. That is basically the reason why I'm on this podcast. Anything Patrick Rothfuss related, I will scream to the public.
So he is on this podcast, Unattended Consequences.
Yes, Unattended Consequences. So it's him and the creator of Cards Against... Or one of the creators of Cards Against Humanity, Max Lemkin.
Temkin,
that's the one. And, it's just a delight to listen to these two. I mean, Patrick Rothfuss is so real and genuine. He's a fantastic human being.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's so funny as well. Like, just the witty comments he comes out with. And, you know, he... So there was an incident where, and for those of you who have read the series... He was traveling a lot because he does a lot of conventions, and he went on a plane, and as he's traveling around, he's got this like USB stick, essentially, like this flash drive, not encoded, not like password encrypted, anything like that. And as he's traveling, he's lost it. And on that flash drive is The Doors of Stone,
The third book that still hasn't come out.
Which everybody is waiting for. And I know Patrick Rothfuss may never listen to this, but... I have to say, I side with him, because you can't rush perfection, and he takes such a long time because he cares about language.
Okay, explain what happens.
Okay. With what?
He's traveling.
Oh, he's traveling. So, yes, he's got... What? So, he's traveling, and he goes through the airport security, and as you know, the American air security's ridiculous. So, he goes through and gets on the plane... And you know how everybody does those final checks, you know, pats down your pockets, you know, wallet, phone, keys, that's my check. And as he's doing that, he realizes, oh, bugger it. I don't, and for some reason he's English, but yeah.
he's actually an American author.
Yes, he is indeed. But he's like, oh, I don't have my flash drive. So he's calling everybody. He's freaking out because not, like, this is years of his life. Like, on this flash drive, because Doors of Stone is on this much-anticipated book and all this other stuff as well. But he doesn't care about other stuff. He just wants the flash drive. So he's freaking out. He's having, like, a mild panic attack. And credit to him, right? Because he felt bad about this. And, you know, he wanted to come clean. He turned the panic up to about 11, right? And so the plane was delayed on the tarmac, not because of him, because of takeoff and everything. But he turned it up and he's like, I need to get off the plane. I need to go back to the security check-in. So he goes, they turn the plane around for him, not because he's a famous author, but because he's having a panic attack. Anyway, long story short, the flash drive was in the trash. Somebody had taken this priceless artifact and just gone, oh, nobody's coming back for this, and threw it in the trash because they're in the lost and found room.
Oh. So I'd like to point out a couple of things. One is, if someone's taken off the plane, that is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what they have to do, because of dangers with various things...
Oh, he wasn't removed from the plane.
He was.
No, he wasn't removed from the plane. He left the plane. He wanted to get off the plane.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. So he was taken off the plane as per his wishes,
yep.
But still, they have to go through every bag in the overhead luggage.
Oh, I think he only had, overhead. He didn't have checked baggage.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go through every bag in the overhead luggage, every single bag of everyone, in case he stashed it in someone else's spot, a bomb, let's say, for instance. So they actually have to go through and check every bag, asking other people, not him, obviously, asking other people if it belongs to them. Then they say yes, and then it's good. They leave that one and keep going to the next bag.
Oh, no, he managed to remove his bag before he went off the plane.
Yeah, that's right, but they can't trust him. He could have put anything anywhere, right?
No, true enough.
So
I don't think that happened, though.
It would have after he left?
No, because there was someone else on the plane with him. And they stayed on the plane to go back to
maybe
the
I'd
airport.
Still severely doubt it
because he was feeling so guilty because he delayed these people like in his mind, but the person who was on the plane was just like, you only delayed them by about like 10 minutes, So
okay. Because it was already delayed anyway.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure standard airport procedure, they have to do it. Because it happened to me once on a plane. Someone had a heart attack. And even though it was clear it was a real heart attack, they still had to check that every single bag on the plane belonged to someone else besides that person.
That's Australian airport security.
Might be better. I went to my wife and I was like, gee, that's nice of them to check that they aren't stealing a bag. And she was like, no, that's not the reason, John. She might have left a bomb. So I was a little bit naive in that. Now, the second thing I wanted to point out was that Patrick Rothfuss doesn't write books the way most of us do. It wasn't like a 75% finished draft that he'd been working on since the last one came out. He basically writes these huge universes, and it's almost as if he pulls one book one and book two out, and now he's going to pull book three out. Like, it's not the work since the last book. It's all of the work for the last, I think, 20 years or something he's been writing on the whole world.
Because he goes through, like, numerous drafts. He doesn't just write draft one, draft two, draft three, done. He writes so much. Like, he's happy if he writes 2 pages a day.
Oh, wow.
And he doesn't even do that. But like I said, I don't fault him for taking as long as he is, because I've enjoyed Name of the Wind, Wise Man's Fear, and my favorite, The Slow Regard of Silent Things.
Which is just a short story.
I know, but it is so beautiful. I listen to the audiobook, and if anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you have Audible or anything like that, and you should support your authors, so Audible, don't download, just get it through Audible. I think like the first month, if you sign up, an ad for Amazon, if you sign up.
They don't make Audible.
Amazon does.
No.
Yeah.
Audible.
Oh, fact checking.
Okay. It is.
Yes, it is.
It is Amazon, as I said all along, and I'm going to edit it to make it sound like I did.
So
we should totally get like a sponsorship deal with Audible, and then we can say like insert the code in. If you insert the Nerds Way, you can get a free month of Audible.
Well, you get that anyway.
Okay, don't tell them that. Yeah,
so, but that's my request of all of you listening. Sign up for Audible, you get 30 days free, and after that you can just cancel your subscription, but you get a free audiobook. Now, The Slow Regard of Silent Things is only 3 hours long, and it's written and read by Patrick Rothfuss, and just listening to the way he, because he knows the inflections that he wants to put out there. So it's just a delight to listen to.
I should also point out that this particular book is in first person perspective of a young female.
Yep.
And he's an older male reading out her perspective, which is quite hilarious.
It is, but it's so fitting. Like, he, with Ori, okay, so you're not really going to understand a lot. You have to kind of read Name of the Wind and or A Wise Man's Fear as well.
Well, we've already turned this podcast into
Patrick Rothfuss
2.0. The Patrick Rothfuss fan cast.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll leave it there.
Okay.
Listen to this amazing audiobook if you so desire. The code is The Nerd's Way.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. We don't have
There's no code.
Or maybe we will. Dun-dun-dun. You called me up on Christmas Eve. You said that if I told anyone that, you'd kill me.
Oh, no, go for it. I can't even remember what I threatened to kill you with, but sure, go for it.
You called me up on Christmas Eve, which is a lovely thing, considering on the exterior you're so, how should I put this?
Oh, no, speak truthfully.
Murderous. but you wanted to wish me a happy Christmas and thought I'd be too busy on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I didn't think of calling you, so you're actually the nicer person out of the both of us. While we were talking, you were saying you were reading this new novel, and this novel is my greatest fear. Like, we talked about...
Briefly, yeah.
I'll give you a spoiler. This novel is by Stephen King, but it's not what you're expecting.
No.
So we talked about the It movie and the It books last week, and that's one of your bigger fears. We won't... surviving
like
the
clouds.
Apocalypse,
actually,
we shouldn't reveal our greatest weaknesses.
I think we should, really.
I
don't like nuns and clowns.
Oh, nuns.
Mm. Yeah, nuns is a relative... Not new one, but that's a story we can go into another time.
Oh, wow, I'm excited.
Yeah. The Stand by Stephen King. Now... when people say, you know, Stephen King, they basically think, oh, horror.
Yeah, horror. So, and I should clarify, this book, like I said, it's my greatest, biggest fear.
And why is that?
It's not because it's a horror movie. It's actually because it's realistic. Like, it's almost a sci-fi type book.
The first part of it. So, yeah. The way this book is presented, right, is you have a cataclysmic, and I use that in the correct terminology, a full-blown world-ending scenario, right? A disease is released inadvertently to the public. And this is no spoiler because it's literally in the opening chapter and on the cover of the book. So, a disease is inadvertently released into the public, a genetically modified, basically, super flu, and constantly mutating, so you can't have, like, a vaccine or anything like that developed. And it just spreads like crazy, like something like a 94% communicability rate with a 96% mortality rate.
Which basically means there's nothing you can do.
96% of the population dies. Oh, goodness.
I'm already coughing.
That's what you get. So,
just thinking about diseases makes me feel up. Like, did I talk about this on the podcast before? Like, when all those diseases came out, like swine flu, SARS, and all that, I was like, I'm actually going to die.
You're a bit of a hypochondriac.
I had to stop myself. Yeah. I haven't made that joke already. I have self-diagnosed myself with the only thing you're allowed to self-diagnose yourself with, which is hypochondria. Which is, of course, the description of the condition where you think you have a lot of diseases.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, but... Oh, wow, this podcast has turned into a book club. So, yeah, The Stand by Stephen King, a fantastic
Please
read.
Please read it, let us know. Yeah. We'll get up to page 87 by next week, and then 124
I'll
by
read
week
it
after.
For you. But, no, it's got a bunch of characters, like obviously a bunch of characters from their perspectives. So, but this whole world-ending apocalyptic sickness, which in itself could be an amazing book, but that's merely the backdrop.
Oh.
Yeah, there's something else that's going on by a gentleman named Randall Flagg. Some type of dark, dark entity.
So we have to read the book to find out.
Yes, indeed. But it is so good. I have to... Like, I just recommend it because... Oh, sorry. I should mention. You want to go for the newer version that's out? Because he released one... I think it was like... Honestly, I can't remember. Like the 80s or something.
Okay.
No, it would have been earlier than that. I can't remember, but then he's released an unabridged version with a whole bunch of more information. It's longer, but it's brilliant. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just because while I'm listening to it and reading it, all I'm thinking of is this would just kill John. He would, yes, oh, it would, but just reading this would probably kill him. And
1978 is when it originally came out, and he redid it in 1990. So. Yeah. That's the book that Adam recommends.
Mm-hmm. 1990.
I want to ask, let's say someone's listening and they're not sure whether they want to pick up this book.
Yep.
They don't really like horror, but they like actions or science fiction or drama. What do you think, it's too horror for them? Or
I'm going to say no. Like, I didn't get any essence of suspense. There's mystery.
Oh, okay. And there's mystery.
Yeah, there's mystery and there's adventure, right? Because it's people having to travel to and fro, meeting different people. I mean, there's a point where it does get like a little bit of a sinister overtones, if you will.
Sure.
But there's nothing. There's no lingering fear, if you will. It's quite good. I recommend it. But if you're going to read a book, definitely Name the Wind first. Patrick Rothfuss for life! Now, this is a topic I see on our little spreadsheet here because, you know, nerds, and the nerd's way requires spreadsheets.
Yes.
So you have a topic that you're wanting to discuss that I know nothing about and you're wanting to surprise me with.
Okay, so I have to say I heard... I was in a conversation with a few co-workers and they were talking about this topic and I was like, right... That absolutely has to be in the podcast.
Ooh.
Okay, so last time I had a segment like this, I kind of blew it a little bit.
This is your last chance.
So, yeah, from if I don't get this into a good segment, Adam is going to be the only host from now on.
Oh, goodness, nobody wants that, I can assure you. But yes, all right, so blow me away with this awesomeness.
Okay, so the Boltzmann brain, if you haven't heard about it, which I'm guessing most people haven't because it's freaky as and it's like a philosophy slash science-y thing.
Hmm.
Basically, it describes this theory, right? I don't even know how to begin because it's so... When someone told me about it at work, I was like, I don't know if I can think about the world in the same way anymore.
Ooh.
It changes your perspective on anything.
So discretion is advised, dear listeners, going forth, because your whole reality and perception of reality is about to be blown away.
Oh, wow. That is going to be incredible. That's final edit out that section. Okay.
Dying. Sorry.
Okay. So the Boltzmann brain. I've got the Wikipedia page open right now.
The
and actually, Ludwig Boltzmann, who came up with it, looks a bit like Patrick Rothfuss. Come over here and...
Oh my goodness.
I reckon he might actually be Patrick Rothfuss.
It's Patrick. Oh my goodness. Patrick Rothfuss, if you're listening, I now know your secret.
He's a time traveller who creates theories.
No, he's just a bloody immortal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the Boltzmann brain. I'm kind of scared to describe it to you. Do you think the audience is ready for this mind-blowing...
They're listening to two nerds sit around talking about literally trash. So, yeah, I'd say they're ready.
Okay.
They're wanting this mind-blowing experience. These people, they're not going to... The people who listen to our podcast, right? When you think about it, they're the smartest people on this planet. So our listeners are totally prepared for this.
Ooh. Wow, you're getting good at complimenting the audience now.
Well, they're decent people.
Oh,
ding!
Yeah.
That was me winking, by the way.
Okay. So the Boltzmann brain.
Yes.
It's this idea that we have really no proof that reality as we perceive it actually exists. Now, I've talked about that before in the simulation hypothesis, but that was about us just being inside a computer.
Mm-hmm.
What if I told you that you have no way of knowing that the past ever happened or that the future ever will? And that this moment right now is the only one that will ever or has ever existed. Now, of course, right now is moving all the time. Even since I first talked about this topic, when the transition effect happened like 5 minutes ago because I've been leading up to this way too much. It's been a long time. But
this is good, yeah.
The only reason you know that there's been time passing is because of your memory.
Mm-hmm.
So, all of this is kept inside your brain, which is basically storing how you perceive the world, how you remember things, how you see things. It all goes into your brain. And then, if you believe in souls, say, for instance, that's your soul is just using information from your brain, right?
Okay.
So, the only reason you know that, let's say, for instance, take your right hand, put it in front of your face, look at it. And then, like, open and close it. You can feel your hand there. You know your hand's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you only know that because of signals that are being sent to your brain.
Yeah.
Now, the Boltzmann brain is this hypothesis that, let's say, in an infinitely chaotic universe where there's just particles flying around everywhere, there's a one in, I don't know, almost infinity chance that your brain will have been created by all these protons and particles flying exactly together into the exact configuration of your brain as it is right now for like a split nanosecond and then vanishes again.
So for that split nanosecond, I am all of creation.
But you don't know it. You've just imagined this world where, like, humans are these pink-skinned things and, like, we have bookshelves and podcasts and all that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think this is a whole, but more of a... Talking about memory, okay?
Yeah.
So you're more specifying with my memory. So, for instance, I can remember, I don't know, sitting at home and reading Grimm's Fairy Tales, for instance, okay, when I was much younger, okay?
Yep.
But alternatively, I can also remember things you have done.
Okay.
So, like, what I'm saying is...
Should I be creeped out?
So, what I'm saying is, like, we just ate dinner, Okay? Yes. Memory. Yep. You remember that we ate dinner.
Yep.
I remember that we ate dinner.
Yep. And you, but you can remember me saying that, yes, I do remember eating dinner just then.
Mm-hmm. But I know that we both remember eating it. So
yeah.
Are there two brains that have spontaneously created?
No, only one brain. You're the Boltzmann brain, mm-hmm. and you have a memory of there being another person that can remember stuff.
Right.
But I never existed. I'm just a creation of this Boltzmann brain.
That's the sound of my mind being blown. I'm trying to think. Like, I've thought of... So it's like that I think, therefore I am, essentially, because we've touched on that before and, you know, we have a disagreement.
I was right!
You were wrong, okay? It is I think, therefore I am,
therefore,
and no more.
No, okay. Wait, it was the start. I doubt, therefore I think, therefore I am.
Yeah. But that's
wait, you just agreed to it!
That's the remodel.
Anyway, who cares? We're all just Boltzmann brains. Yeah,
exactly, right? I mean, technically, I'm the only one alive and just remembering, you know, other people, essentially. No, I've often, like, thought, you know, it's like, there's a kind of an episode of Doctor Who that touches on this.
Okay.
Briefly.
Which one is this?
This is Silence in the Library and the second part of that.
Okay, so there may be mild spoilers if you haven't seen those episodes.
True. But it's amazing. Watch it. So, the Doctor arrives on the library, right? And there's the little girl. What's her name? I can't remember her name. The little girl. Planet, right? Anyway, so Dr. Moon's there, and everybody who has been saved has been taken up and stored in data storage, essentially. The bodies have been disintegrated, as it were. But, sorry, my apologies. But, let's say when Donna's up there, and she's talking with the children, and then she's like, oh, Mummy, when you're not around, it's not like we don't exist.
So, oh, that was so creepy.
I know, right? But it's like that type of thought process. It's like, let's say if I'm the Boltzmann brain, when I leave your house when we finish the podcast and, you know, whatever, I'm driving down the road, behind me it's just going to be fading levels of destruction because you don't exist.
But also, like, it's beyond that. The Boltzmann brain is even further beyond that.
Ooh, okay.
I never existed in the first place.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And you will never drive down the road to leave. You exist right now, and that's it. You'll never leave this house. We won't finish the podcast ever. But then, let's say 2 weeks from now, you remember John talking about, oh, man, the Boltzmann brain. It mustn't have been real, because I'm here now.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're the Boltzmann brain. That's when you actually exist. And we never existed now. This is just you remembering it later. Crazy creepy, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
I haven't been able to think about reality in the same way since hearing about it.
So, Overwatch League. No.
Yeah, we need a lighter topic after this.
Yeah, okay. So that makes sense. Well, sorry, no. I don't believe this theory in the slightest because there's just that much proof against it for reality to exist. Like, my actions affecting others, others' actions affecting me. I don't know. But an interesting topic and something to think about for our dear listeners.
Remember,
you don't exist and life is meaningless. That's what John's trying to say.
But, I mean, it can also help in a good way. Like, if you're really stressed about an upcoming exam, just think, I'm just a Boltzmann brain. It'll never happen. Actually, don't do that because then you won't study. No,
exactly. Sometimes stress is what's needed in life.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Deep philosophy.
Is this self-help or, like, the opposite of self-help?
No, but, I mean, stress is basically your brain's process of defragging. In the long run, stress is... No, that's not the correct thing to say. But stress can help you out. There's people who stress too much, certainly. But there's people who don't stress enough at all and just coast by at life.
On a tangent here, but on that topic, there was a really good TED Talk I watched, which was saying that...
I don't think I've ever watched a TED Talk.
They're pretty good. Anyway, stress isn't actually bad for you. What is wrong is when you try to stop yourself stressing.
Repressing the stress.
Because the stress basically causes your body to pump more blood around to try and get more oxygen to your brain to try and solve whatever this problem is as soon as you can. Now, in modern society, a lot of our problems can't be solved just by extra blood flow or whatnot. So we hold on to this stress, but then we try and like stop feeling stress. Now, the way the body does that is by constricting the blood vessels. So it's pushing through extra blood, but constricting the blood vessels, trying to slow down the blood flow. Whereas if we just went, it's okay that I am feeling like this right now. If you go, oh, it's okay, then your blood vessels open up and the blood goes through freely. And though you may feel a little bit stressed now that you've accepted it, it's actually a lot better for you.
Yeah,
so Adam's advice is actually scientifically backed.
Boom, there you go.
Adam, I have something to bring up to you as the next segment.
Okay.
I'm quite, actually, not quite, very disappointed in you.
Oh, no. And what will I do with myself?
Honestly, the amount that you have offended me has changed my perception of the reality almost as much as the Boltzmann brain.
Oh, my sight. But don't worry about it, because really, you don't exist.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you're the Boltzmann brain.
So what Adam did, all right, my fellow nerds, please stand with me on this. Adam watched The Last Jedi without inviting me.
Bum, bum, bum. Yes, I did. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it was 9 o'clock and well past your bedtime.
Okay, that's fine then.
Yeah, and it was on like a weekday as well, so I knew you'd be asleep.
Yeah, fair call.
Yeah, you'd have work. But speaking of The Last Jedi, if you're wanting a full review of it, please go see our friends over at The Screen Review Time Warp.
I don't think they have a "the." They're just Screen Review Time
Warp. Well, now they do. The Screen Review Time Warp. I'm renaming their podcast.
You can't rename their podcast.
Oh, wow.
It's a really good review of the podcast. So if you want a really in-depth take on it, it changed my mind on a lot of things.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to touch on it briefly. But what do you think of it?
Okay, so the first thing I'd like to say about the movie is I watched it about 2 weeks after because all of my friends watched it without me. So I watched it about 2 weeks after. And by then, I had tried to stay away from spoilers. So I luckily didn't get anything spoiled, unlike the last movie.
Good.
But I had kind of heard around the grapevine that a lot of people were disappointed. So when I went into it, I was not expecting great things. And there were a few moments where I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Cringy.
I'm a big, huge fan of J.J. Abrams, and he didn't direct this one. He's directing the next one, and he directed the last one.
Right.
Assuming we're not Boltzmann brains and the future and the past exist.
Oh, boy. This is going to be great.
But I'm a big fan of J.J. Abrams, so I was very skeptical of the new director. But in the end, I actually liked it a lot. There was a lot of little touches that I actually missed because I had a low expectation of the director.
Yep. When you go in with low expectations, you're often surprised. Whereas a lot of people went in thinking, oh, this is going to be amazing, and were disappointed.
Indeed. So one of the touches, it's a mild spoiler, but basically at the end with the lightsaber fight at the end, one of the characters...
Favorite scene.
Didn't leave marks, red marks in the salt.
Oh.
And I didn't notice that because I was thinking, oh, this director, like, he's not going to put in details. So I was, like, basically not paying attention to the little small details. And someone pointed out to me later that perhaps that meant something. Anyway, sorry if that spoils the movie for you, but it's been out for a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably have no idea what I'm talking about.
So I, in my view... Leaving the cinema, I was okay with it. I mean, okay.
That's
good. That being said, I really believe that they screwed up with Carrie Fisher, because who plays Princess Leia, right?
So she unfortunately passed away.
Rest in peace, Carrie Fisher.
The filming of this movie.
Yeah. She wasn't able to do any reshoots or anything like that. Obviously, being dead kind of hinders that. But the... because she wasn't able to do reshoots, I had to do basically everything from the footage they have. Because reshoots are actually an important part of the filmmaking process. But, well, that's something later on.
Yeah, when you edit it, you see, oh, that wasn't as good, so you want to redo it.
Exactly, yeah. So, basically what they had was it. But they could have gone, in my opinion... So there's a scene which I like to refer to as the Space Witch, okay?
And so it's major spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie, just skip ahead to the next segment.
Literally 30 seconds. Just click the 30-second thing. So very quickly, starting now. Hope you've skipped. Okay, so when Kylo Ren's flying down and she's on the bridge of the ship, and Kylo Ren's like, oh, do I shoot or do I not, essentially. You can see that internal struggle. He obviously decides not to. However, doesn't matter. Two fighter pilots shoot in and, you know, destroy that thing. She gets sucked out into space. Okay? That should be fine for enough spoilery material. I'll just waffle on for about 20 more seconds because that didn't take long.
That was it.
But anyway, so she's there, and I thought, you know what? I'm happy with that. I'm, like, in the process
of...
They could have ended her story arc right there.
And then just edited it out.
Exactly. Like, that would have caused problems in there, but they could have reshot some of that stuff, right? Because everyone else was still alive. Because I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm fine with that. It showed decent character development for Kylo, yep. And it resolved her storyline, okay?
I agree with you. I think one of the things they wanted to do, though, was... They were kind of adamant that they wouldn't change anything about the movie as a result of her unfortunate death.
But especially when it comes to the next movie, basically it's just going to be her gone from some off-screen nonsense. Thing.
Yeah, so they could have used that and then it would have been a bit nicer for her character.
Yeah, and again, I think that's an important legacy to leave. But I was happy with it. But the favorite part of, my favorite part in the movie, because I went to sit with a bunch of people, because you're a nana, and we were, nana, as in you go to bed early.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were there, and I was with one of my friends, James, who's remarkably inappropriate. And we're sitting there, and that scene occurs, and... basically what I like to refer to as the Space Witch, and anybody, or Space Superman, as some of you might think, but basically me and my friend are sitting there, we're both really confused, and he leans over to me, and we start whispering real quickly in hushed tones, but Poe, looking out the window, seeing the Space Witch kind of like floating towards him, and he just screams, "Space Witch!" And everybody just starts freaking out, and she's just crawling through the hole, like just clawing, just like red eyes, just trying to kill everybody inside.
Bro.
Yeah. So,
oh my god,
I had no idea why.
This is not a horror movie.
No, it's not. But we just cackled madly. Oh, it was so good.
And then you needed to watch the movie again because you couldn't pay attention during that scene.
Yeah, but a couple of things which I thought to be... okay, I'm going to touch on things that I like and then things I didn't like very briefly. Okay. Things I liked, the lightsaber scene. I thought that was great. The scene with Rey and Kylo, with
Snoke,
yeah, thank you. And the scene with basically Kylo and Luke Skywalker. I thought, brilliant, love it. Those are brilliantly choreographed, excellent graphics, I like it. What I didn't like is I didn't like that Admiral lady, the one with the pink hair.
Okay,
I thought her character was... A whole bunch of drama could have just been avoided if she's gone, hey, Poe, you know what you're planning? Yeah, here's why we're doing this. And he would have been like, oh, makes perfect sense. Thank you for letting me know. I'll calm down now. But
okay,
no.
So I have an interesting point of view on this.
Okay.
I think the only reason we hate the pink girl and like Poe Dameron...
Oh, I don't like Poe either, don't get me wrong.
Well, let's say we like him a bit more than the purple-haired lady.
Yeah, fair enough, pink, but yeah.
Generally speaking, most people. So, I think it's only because the narrative followed Poe. Because if you think about it, both characters went off on their own, trying to do their own way of solving it.
Mm-hmm.
But we naturally side with Poe because we saw his side of the story. We never saw her side of the story.
I'd have to
say... Both of them did the same exact mistake, which is not telling each other.
Communication is key, people, when fighting an interstellar war.
We should try and communicate better and not talk over each other.
How dare you? No, but anyway.
Continue.
Just a point of note, okay? I am attacking the characters, not the actors. Okay? I have nothing against... I thought the acting was fine. I just found that the character development was rubbish. I really didn't like the Force type of relationship between Finn and the engineer chick. I can't remember her name, to be honest. Because her character was rubbish. No, that's not fair. Her character wasn't rubbish. I found it was just forced.
The character was Rose. I feel like they could have done more development on her. She felt like many other characters that we'd seen in many stories before.
I felt like they should have developed the characters that they had instead of bringing a new one. Like Phasma. Phasma was like, I was so excited for Phasma. You know, Brienne of Tarth.
Phasma being the silver...
The
stormtrooper.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Like the leader of the stormtroopers, whatever. But I was just like...
Spoiler. Please plug your ears for 5 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
She got beaten by a janitor.
What?
He was in Finn's sanitation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I was just like, this... come on. This is... rubbish. But that another slight inconsistency. So I'd have to say a brilliant piece of cinema history was made, in my opinion. Right? When the plan is finally revealed and Poe looks like an idiot, right? When the Admiral turns the ship around and... Well, sorry, no, not the plan. The backup plan to the plan.
Yeah.
Where she's like, well, we're all screwed, so... minor spoiler. Hyperdrive, right? And there's that, I'd say, maybe like a solid 20, 30 seconds of utter silence.
Mm.
And the effect was mesmerizing on the cinema.
Mm.
Like, I'm sitting in a packed out cinema and everybody's just like dead quiet and in awe. Like, even my friend, James and I get together, it's inappropriate stuff like 100% of the time. But even we were just like frozen in adoration. In awe of what was taking place, because a brilliant effect, and like the special effects were incredible with it as well. And then, you know, obviously the noise comes back, but just you could hear a pin drop in that cinema. There's no like lolly packets being opened. Everybody was just frozen. It was remarkable. That was, I think, very brave, and it paid off for them. The only thing that probably paid off.
Yeah. Okay. So,
That is The Last Jedi. That being said, I mean, it is the Star Wars universe. You've got to see it, right? I mean, that's kind of why Disney's taken those rights. So, go watch it and form your own opinion. That's basically, like I said, don't let other people's opinion inform yours. Because, like I said, I walked out of there, I thought to myself, yes, I enjoyed that. I mean, it was a good popcorn film.
And I like to say, just generally, like, even not just with The Last Jedi, if you can have a kind of low expectation, the thing to remember about movies is they're not going to change your life. It's not going to be the biggest thing ever, because you've already seen so many great films in your life and when you were younger with a better imagination. So just try to enjoy movies. You don't always have to be a movie critic all the time trying to find problems.
Mm-hmm.
If you enjoy it and learn something from it,
that's good advice.
That's a lot better.
That's good advice.
So,
I like that.
Low expectations, but prepare to enjoy yourself at the same time.
Yeah, I like that. Very good. Very good indeed. All right. Jeez. So
low budgets. transition effects. Ready Player One. Now, this book, what can I say about this book? In terms of, like, Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerd's Way, this is the very definition.
So this is the pin au resistance. This is the best way to survive the apocalypse.
essentially, this is what the novel is about, is surviving the apocalypse the Nerd's Way. So the novel takes place...
We should get sponsored by them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. About 40 years from now, in a dystopia.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give any spoils. This is literally explained in the first few paragraphs of the book.
Okay.
And in the synopsis.
But then that's fine.
The world has basically gone to ashes. The price of fuel is too much, so no one drives anywhere anymore. There's no house land left, so you live in caravans stacked on top of each other into skyscrapers that frequently fall down and kill everyone.
Horrifying.
Yes.
Wait a second. So you're saying that in this dystopia where the price of fuel, like the cost of living is through the roof, right?
Yep.
But there are, the population has increased because there's no land, like there's no...
Yeah, the population has increased because, you know, population increase is exponential. Because if I have four children, that's double me and my wife.
Yeah.
And then if they each have four children, it's again and again. So no, population increases and that's what causes...
In a dystopia, there's mass death. So how are these people surviving? I know I'm getting into the meat of this, but I need to know.
It may not be the dystopia you're imagining. It's more like everyone's still alive.
So everyone still has food.
Their life, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
But their life is pretty bad.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
They're all crammed in, basically, you don't want to go outside because there's fuel, smog everywhere, etc., etc. Well, you can go out. It's not that bad. Basically, it's a mild dystopia.
Okay, mild dystopia, got it, all right.
Yeah. So not everyone dying. In fact, that's the problem. There's too many people.
Yep.
Not enough fuel.
Well, that makes more sense.
The food is quite expensive, so you have to just get... probably the biggest thing is there's no jobs around, so you can't support yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are unemployed. Everyone's on welfare, getting fed by the government, etc., etc.
Right.
So this is a very... I'm going to call it mild dystopia, but definitely the apocalypse. Like, it's hard to survive.
Okay.
So this... book takes place after the creator of the world's largest MMO,
Woo!
Virtual reality, where everyone basically lives and does their business because the world is too crowded.
Right.
He dies and leaves his fortune to someone who can crack Easter eggs that he has hidden in the game.
Nice. I like that.
Now, each Easter egg, the only way to solve it is by knowing 80s trivia, basically. So 80s movies, 80s books, 80s computer games. It's all in there.
Right.
And so basically everyone in the world wants this millions and millions of dollars.
Mm.
And so they all start wearing 80s clothes. They start doing 80s things, watching 80s shows, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Just so that they can get a competitive advantage in the game.
I'm wearing 80s? Wow, why the 80s? Okay, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, I assume Ernest Cline, who is the author of this novel, has some sort of fondness for the 80s.
Yeah, of course.
So the first thing I'm thinking about is with the movie coming out, how are they going to get the rights for all of the different IPs? So the main character's car at one stage in the film... In virtual reality, of course.
It's a DeLorean.
Is the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Okay, yeah.
With the Ghostbusters signage on it, and there's like another movie thrown in there as well.
Yeah.
So everything is referenced to something. And like you said, on the poster, there's an Overwatch character.
Yeah, Tracer.
So I think for the movie, they must have changed elements. Like I watched the trailer. He says, my father named me after a superhero... such as Bruce Banner or what's Spider-Man's name? Peter Parker.
Peter Parker, sorry, yeah.
But in the book, he actually says Peter Parker or what's Superman's name?
Clark Kent.
Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. I said it before.
Yeah.
But of course, they're two different franchises, so to halve the cost... They made both the quotes from Marvel for the movie instead of having to license DC as well. So subtle things like that that I was noticing. So I think they may have taken out some references and put in some others. Like Overwatch isn't in the book, but obviously they added it to the...
I'd say they'd have evolved slightly, like to modernize it a little bit. It's like what they, like Stephen King did with The Stand. So back when it was written in the 70s or something... It was prevalent for that time. Like, a lot of the, like, little niche topics in there, like the little side stories, had elements of, you know, issues important to the 70s. So he's changed that in the rewrite to stuff important in the 90s. So, yeah, it's quite good. But I see. So Overwatch is... Sorry, Ready Player One. I'd say they've modernized it to be more prevalent in today's society. So like
I also... In case you're wondering, the book came out in 2011, so it's not an old book, but obviously it is heavily focused on the 80s, just because that's the plot that he chose.
Right, yeah. Well, once you saw, like, listening to Unintended Consequences, right, throughout this whole process, he was talking about his deal with getting his franchise...
Oh, Patrick Rothfuss.
Patrick Rothfuss, yeah. His deal with getting the Kingkiller Chronicles into movie and TV. Which is now going to happen with the director, Lin... What's his
Manuel
name?
Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, that's the one.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Brilliant. Anyway, he talks about when you give away those rights, they're not yours anymore. These people can do whatever they want with your IP.
Unless you put it in the contract.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say the writer, written in 2011... They're probably relatively flexible. I mean, he's living. That's a bonus. You can't really do these negotiations with J.R. Tolkien, for instance. So, yeah.
I think you're right. So they took the movie, they took the book and they were like, well, how can we make this into a movie? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the stuff in the book is direct references to all this 80s stuff. And to be honest, a lot of it went over my head. But it is still a well-crafted story. So they went, there's a movie we can make out of this. They didn't necessarily just say... Let's turn this word for word, shot for shot, into a movie of the book, but took 90 or 75% of the book and then chose whatever they thought would make the best movie, which gets criticized a lot when it comes to book to movie adaptions. But you've got to remember, these people, these directors, know what they're doing. They know how to make a good movie. And just because it doesn't exactly match the book doesn't mean it's a bad movie. It may mean that you would have preferred it if it was just a movie version of the book, exactly what you had in your head, but...
There's... In my head, like, yes, you're right, everybody does complain about that. In my head, I can think of only one instance...
Okay.
...where it was the opposite. Where...
Oh, no.
...the TV show was miles and leagues better than the book, in my opinion. Okay. The book's in this moment. Have you ever heard of The Legend of the Seeker?
The Legend of the Seeker? I've heard of it. What is it, though? I don't remember.
It's based off the books, the Sword of Truth series, First Rule, Stone of Tears, and I can't remember what the third book is called. I've listened to them all, because when I'm driving around, I listen to audiobooks, and I have to say the TV series is so much better. Much better. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, 2008, Sorry. The Legend of the Seeker.
Yeah.
So, based on the Sword of Truth series?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Is that a fantasy series, or what is it?
Yeah, fantasy. Good Kind. Terry Good Kind. Yeah, and, the series, TV series is really good, and I was so angry that they cancelled it. Because it was done in Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was really excellent actors.
My wife could have acted in it.
She really could have. And it was so good. It was so good. But yeah, anyway, so Ready Player One. So when's that out?
March 30th.
March 30th. Are you sure? That sounded very hesitant.
March 30th, 2018.
Say it again with conviction.
March 30th.
No, that's just evil.
Oh, okay.
Conviction is from the stomach. March 30th, 2018 is when Ready Player One is returned.
So I must say, there's so many 80s references in this book that even if you don't know much about it, you'll still like it. There's bound to be something. So it references things like Star Wars, Back to the Future, all those kinds of things. I'm really excited to be able to have, at one stage, they have a bunch of lightsabers.
Oh.
And it's like the ship from Firefly, if you watch that.
Serenity.
That's one of his main ships.
How dare you say if I've watched that.
And basically, the Firefly ship is flying along.
Serenity.
And Serenity, but it's just a Firefly class ship.
Even though
the name of it is Serenity.
Anyway. Right.
Out nerded!
Oh, I know it's a Firefly class ship.
Okay, just checking. it tries to take the X-Wing that the main character is in, but he manages to defeat it and then take that as his own ship. So I wonder, that would be amazing if they can fit that in, but whether they have the rights, it's all different studios.
Disney would never, ever allow that to happen. No way.
But it's so cool. Like, there's bound to be something in there. And at the very, very end, because I'm a music nerd, at the very end of the Ready Player One trailer, if you've ever watched it, there's that sound effect that happens whenever someone realizes something in Back to the Future, because it's directed by the same guy, Steven Spielberg. And I was like, yes, this is going to be amazing. Those throwbacks to these things that we've liked for so long, but they exist as cult classics, but then nothing happens to them. And it's kind of cool to know that there's still
the story
out there
evolves,
and still, even though it's not a continuation, because let's face it,
the story's still being used.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Into new and better things, or not better things, but new different things.
We're going to play a song, and this song I heard and loved. And speaking of Lin-Manuel, whatever his name is, what's the director's name again, Johnny?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
There
now,
you go.
I might be saying that wrong. If so, I'm very sorry.
I think you're correct. So, this gentleman he helped create a Broadway show called Hamilton, which was quite big over in the US, won a whole bunch of awards, fantastic. And what we're about to listen to is a song by an artist called Molly Lewis. Please look her up on YouTube. Enjoy, because this is possibly one of my favorite songs at the moment, and I've listened to it probably over, I'd say, 40 times. I just had it on repeat while I was playing my games.
Wow.
It's so good. Play!
You say the price of my love's not a price that you're willing to pay. You cry in your tea, which you hurl in the sea when you see me go by. Why so sad? Remember we made an arrangement when you went away. Now you're making me mad. Remember, despite our estrangement, I'm your man. You'll be back soon, you'll see. To me, you'll be back. Time will tell. You'll remember that I serve well. Oceans rise, empires fall. We have seen each other through it all. And when push comes to shove, I will send a fully armed battalion to remind you of my love. And win the war for your love, for your praise, and I'll love you till my dying days. When you're gone, I'll go mad. So don't throw away this thing we had. 'Cause when push comes to shove, I will kill your friends and family to remind you of my love. La da 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 da
I mean, it's so groovy and chilly. And as you can tell, there is one or two parts in there that speak to me on a spiritual level.
Yeah, the kill your friends and family bit, I was like, yeah, that is Adam's song.
To remind you of my love.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
You know.
That's fine then.
Yeah. So, brilliant song. You have to check her out. She's so fantastic and adorable and possibly my love. So, check it out. It's fantastic. Molly Lewis. I have had this show recommended to me several times. Apparently it's quite scary, but I haven't seen any yet. But you have. Is that correct?
Yes, I have watched all of the past seasons of this show and currently watching through the latest season, which just came out. The show is called Black Mirror.
Dun-dun-dun.
Now, as you may imagine, Black Mirror, of course, refers to the dark things that are a reflection on today's society, whatever. Okay, so basically it's a science fiction anthology series. Now, if you don't know what anthology means, basically it's a bunch of stories, although related in theme, have no shared characters. They don't follow one story. So basically you can jump in at any moment. So, like, for instance, I'd watched three seasons of it and I wanted to watch something with my wife.
You could watch
it
backwards.
She hadn't watched a single episode of it, but we just started on the current season of something I hadn't seen yet because she didn't need to see anything that had come before. So it's really good. You can watch them in any order, except I'm told the last episode of the latest series, can't watch that until you've watched them all. So it's kind of like, watch everything else in whatever order you want, and then the last one. But I haven't watched it myself, so I haven't been able to verify that, but that's what the internet tells me.
And okay, the internet is law.
Science fiction anthology. It sounds like, oh, okay, might be interesting plots. Like, Doctor Who is almost an anthology, except for the Doctor himself. A lot of the episodes have a different plot. But this one has a different twist to it to most sci-fis that I've seen, watched, or read.
Okay, what's that?
And like you said, you've heard it's scary.
Yeah.
It's not scary from a horror point of view, except for maybe one episode, which is a really good one. They don't just do horror, jump scares, that kind of stuff. Nothing there.
Oh, that's cheap horror.
Cheap horror, right?
I like building fear.
And this is the kind of fear it does. It's not the kind of fear where it's like building up to a jump scare at the start of the episode. It's not even building up to, like, this big thing at the end. It's almost 4 days after you watch the episode, you're like, oh my goodness. Because it's not science fantasy. It's science fiction.
Yeah.
A lot of the episodes happen very close to today's date, like only a few years in the theoretical future.
Oh.
So they're describing things that could happen almost today or will happen with technology that's being developed today. So that is what makes it scary. It's not this, oh man, what if this exists? It's like, this is going to exist soon. We better do something about it.
Right. Does it deal with, like, I don't mind if it does, but does it deal with, like, political or social issues or something like that?
Not as in deliberate politics, but the idea of politics itself, it deals with in two separate episodes out of a grand total of however many 20 episodes there are.
Right, yeah.
So it's not always about the same thing.
That's cool, yeah.
It's really interesting. Some of the themes are like,
so you're recommending
the true effect of, yes, the true effect of social media, virtual reality, whether we know something's real or not, the idea that we could record all our memories and play them back at any moment in That's full cool. detail. That's one of the best episodes of the whole series.
Perhaps,
episode 3 of season 1.
Perhaps the best way for you to convince our audience is to convince me.
Okay.
So give me your best spiel about, give me a detailed review of an episode.
Okay.
Because about spoilers, congratulations everybody, this is going to be a spoiler.
Whoa.
Yep. Spoil an episode
for me. No, I can't spoil an episode for you.
Well, no, don't have to spoil it, but give me details. I want, is it good acting? Are there, like, brilliant actors?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite episode, and what's the episode about?
I have a lot of favorite episodes.
Okay.
I'd say There's just so many. They're so different that I feel like I have 100. They're all my favorite in some way.
Mm.
One of the ones that completely blew me away was an episode with a brilliant actress at the center of it. Basically, the episode starts off, she has no memory of anything.
Mm-hmm.
She's inside this house, and a whole bunch of people are filming her on their phone. Just everyone else that she meets is just filming her and laughing and smiling at what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
As she goes about her normal life, she can't get help. No one will talk to her at all.
Oh.
And then she starts to be chased by basically people dressed up as clowns. Not really clowns. Don't worry, Adam. You won't be scared.
Yeah, I was just like, put my hand down. I was like, this isn't what I'm
now,
hoping for.
If this was any other show, you'd just be like expecting the episode to finish and never really explain, but you have to jump to your own conclusion. But because this is Black Mirror, they explain exactly everything and why everything happened. And my goodness, it's like those pulling out the rug from under you moments. You're just
so I'm
like,
assuming there
oh
were,
my goodness.
I'm assuming there were several like hints throughout it. So it's like,
yes.
Okay, cool. I like that because it's almost like a bit of a mystery that you can
yes.
solve ahead of time.
Every episode is like that.
Okay.
So there's always...
See, that's the pull right there. You just go, this is a mystery that you, if you're smart enough, will be able to solve beforehand. It's
yep.
not like stuff off camera. It's stuff that's actually like in frame, isn't it?
Yes.
Excellent. I like it. I will watch a couple of episodes.
If you manage to pick this episode, that one, if you manage to pick it, I'll be so impressed.
I am going to make it my life goal to pick it now. Just all of it. All of it.
I will be your end.
Or, tentatively...
So the episode I was referring to is called White Bear. It doesn't really give you a hint as to what the episode was.
I forgot. Also, Dirk Gently, season 2 is out. Please watch that as well.
Okay.
Awesome. That's a brilliant series.
And the actress was... Wait, I can't pronounce that. Lenora Crutchlow or something like that. But anyway, so every actor is... a experienced television actor in British television and does... They all do phenomenal jobs.
Hold up. This is British?
Yes. Oh, sorry. This whole show is British.
You could have led with that.
Sorry. Okay, so... cinematography, also incredible. Even the earlier episode... Except for episode 2 of season 1, they're all perfectly... like it feels like a movie.
Right.
Each one.
Okay.
And completely
like
new plot, everything, new director, every episode. It's incredible.
Cool. So, British mystery.
Great acting.
Bit of fear.
Yep.
I'm there. This is mine. This is mine.
Maybe we'll have to watch an episode together and then
maybe.
You can tell the audience what you thought.
Okay, let's do that. Maybe next time. Next recording. So, we're talking about Ready Player One, right? And we spoke briefly about Overwatch. Now, Overwatch is getting quite big all over the world, right? Not getting. It is quite big all over the world. So big.
I mean, it's on the poster of Ready Player One.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's so big now that Blizzard have decided to really double down on their investment. Now, Blizzard is obviously... Sorry, Blizzard Activision, whatever. Activision Blizzard. Are the... developers of Overwatch and a whole bunch of other games, World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft. They're fantastic, right? So they doubling down, they've brought an arena in Los Angeles and revamped it. Like an arena.
What? You mean like an arena as in where they would play real sports?
Arena. Right?
Sorry, I left a real sports thing in there for you to go, what? I can't
sports.
Believe you could say that. Yeah, there we go. Because esports are the real sports.
Exactly, right. But no, they're fully doubling down. And this has brought esports into a massive, like, forefront because...
Is it... Like, I don't know much about this. Is Overwatch more popular than, say, StarCraft? Like, I thought
StarCraft...
Oh, yeah,
StarCraft. Massively now.
Oh, okay,
oh,
wow.
Huge, yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So, Overwatch League has started... Right. This is like the premier esports. the players are getting paid like a fair amount of money. The teams are owned by like corporations and what have you. So like real football, real sports and things like that, you know, like Dallas Cowboys or whatever. So you've got in Overwatch League the Dallas Outlaws.
Okay.
And like each team is like got this awesome color scheme and awesome type of they've got these awesome rivalries between each other. Like they're all like no, that's a swear word, can't swear. They're constantly trash talking each other all the time on Twitter and all this other stuff.
Wait, so they represent states?
Yeah.
So there's people from states and they all come to this one, like...
Yeah, not just states. Like cities, right? But not... Yeah, the cities.
Oh, sorry.
But international. Shanghai Dragons. The Seoul Dynasty. Like South Korea, Seoul. Shanghai, China. And the London Spitfire. No Australian team as of yet. And I am furious with that.
Oh, you're going to have to start it.
Yeah, I'm absolute rubbish at Overwatch. But no, because of this Overwatch League, I've started playing Overwatch more and more.
Okay.
And it's super fun. Like, because you've got to play with someone to get most of it out of it.
Yeah.
And it's so good. Like, I'm rubbish, but so are the people who I play against because I'm in no way, like, in a decent league. And, oh, but it's, like, really good, especially when you, like, nail a headshot or several headshots in a row and you're just like, yeah, I'm a king. But regardless, Overwatch League has generated such, like, a huge outpouring of support for esports. Like, League of Legends have done this, sort of Dota 2, but... As far as I'm aware, they haven't really done that, like, they have, but it just hasn't, for some reason, it hasn't been as big, and League of Legends is massive, right? It's, like, huge. Like, Heroes of the Storm, which is the Blizzard IP MOBA, which I play, which is fantastic. Like, it pales in comparison to the amount of people that play League of Legends, but Overwatch is eclipsing pretty much everything because of the amount of effort, time, passion, and love that Blizzard have put into making it this premier esport. Like, they brought a freaking stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks amazing. It's so cool. Like, it's not just for Overwatch, though, because when the HGC starts up, the Heroes Global Championship starts up, they can use the stadium as well.
It's kind of like winter sports and summer sports.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is, because I think... I think Overwatch League goes till June, if I recall. Because it's literally... We've just had our first... Like, this weekend was the first weekend of it, essentially.
Oh, wow.
And it's so good. Like, I've... Yeah.
Can I just point out...
Mm-hmm.
There's this TV show... This is going to be relevant,
yeah.
I promise. There's this TV show that came out that's called Video Game High School, where people could get... scholarships to join this high school type, college type, whatever you call it, depending on what your country you're from. Basically, a specialist high school that specializes in teaching its students how to play games the best. Because one of the most lucrative careers in this near future utopia, whatever you call it.
Oh, definitely utopia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest career is... playing computer games.
Right.
And I think this is coming true. Because if you think about it, that's just as legitimate of a career as playing another sport.
I agree. I 100% agree. But that's not the case. And
what
I
do you
don't
mean?
Think it's going to be the case for quite some time. So let's take your average footballer, okay? And gridiron, for instance, okay? Or no, let's even take soccer, or as Europeans call it, football, okay? So in soccer football, you have players that get paid upwards of, like, I don't know, £100 million?
Not quite. £17 million for Ronaldo.
There you go. £70 million for Ronaldo.
No, sorry. 17.
17.
Which is more money than either of us will ever see in our entire lives.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, he gets paid that like a year or something? Or that wouldn't be for the life of his contract.
Per year.
Right. And then you've got like American footballers who would get paid just as much, if not more. You've got basketballers. So these Overwatch players... They're only getting, as far as I'm aware, about $50,000-$70,000 a year. But it's still a career.
Average pay of a football player is $5.15 million for American football.
Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, if you get, like, an all-star, for instance, he's going to get paid a lot more, especially when it comes... So that would be what they're getting paid by the club, especially with Ronaldo. That wouldn't be from what they're getting through sponsorship deals as well.
And average pay of Overwatch is about 50K.
Yeah, 50,000.
Yeah. Isn't to be sneezed at.
No, I mean, that's American dollars as well, so that's close to about like 75 or whatever.
Nice.
So
that's a decent career option. Maybe my child, instead of sending them to college, I'll just be like, yeah, play as many computer games as you can. And he's like, yeah. Dad, can I go outside? No, play more games.
You will play Overwatch and you will win, or you are out of this family.
Whoa.
Yeah, pretty intense. So, yeah, Overwatch League is like getting real up there. Like I said, this is only the first year. This is like the first season. So as it gets more popular, the players are going to get paid more. Like, I know that for a fact. This is kind of experimental in a certain aspect.
Wow.
So it's going to be really awesome. I would really like it for our listeners to tune in for a game. Like, just pick a team. I don't know. I like the color scheme for the Soul Dragons. Black and gold looks amazing.
Okay. That's the best way to choose a team is by colours.
But you see, my love for the British monarchy has made me go for the London Spitfire. Not because the monarchy are involved at all, but, you know, London Queen, you know, need it.
Yeah.
So, I recommend just tuning in for a game. Just try it out. Support this industry because it's the future.
I think that brings us to the end of the episode.
Children. As we leave here together, just remember to treat each other with love and respect and go forth. No, that's, I'm trying to think like Mr. Rogers or whatever.
Okay, confused.
I'm confused as well.
In case you can't remember, we talked about the future of nerds in computer games. How we can have a career based on just playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about the Boltzmann brain. Or perhaps we didn't. We just remember it. Sorry, I'm not really going to go back through the episode. I just wanted to set that joke.
Just wanted to get that one. Nice. I like it. So, yeah, thanks for joining in and listening to us today. It has been fantastic. Where can they find us, John?
They can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/thenerdsway. And the Nerds Way. twitter.com/thenerdsway_pod because someone took the Nerds Way. Everyone tweet at the Nerds Way and say, excuse me, can this podcast
Can we have it, please?
Yeah. So thenerdsway_pod. Mm-hmm. You can email us at thenerdsway@gmail.com. You can find us on facebook.com/thenerdsway. And we're also on Twitch, whatever, but we don't use it.
Give me the details and I'll start streaming games.
Yes, please do.
I'll start doing that. Just for anyone who's interested, that is basically just Blizzard games. And I have played a bit of Warships, which is quite fun.
Warships.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, so do you want to close us off?
As we go forth into the dark night of society's
future. Sorry, that's copyrighted by whoever made the Batman films, WB or whatever. Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers, yes. Okay, so as we leave, keep your go bags ready, filled with books, movies, TV shows. I hate myself for this. Obviously, you need a computer and a generator so that way you can keep in touch with your other friends who are playing Overwatch League.
Mm.
And that's it. That's all for tonight. Thank you very much for tuning in. Goodbye.
Hello, this is a test of the full microphone. So today we're going to talk about the Boltzmann brain.
Well, no, we're not.
What, Adam? You can't change what's in there.
I can change everything.
Boom. What? Are you giving me the finger?
I'm not. There's no proof.
Just because... Adam, you can't do rude gestures at me just because we're an audio... All right, I'm going to take a video of this. He's fine now. Just a perfect little angel until... Okay. Oh, come on.
All right, come on.
I'm going to censor out your rude gestures through audio. Just like... Okay.
I am the podcast's new robot, just popping into to say hi and thanks for listening. Also, I will reign upon this earth and you will all know my might.